proceed to the fourth case on this call. That's appeal number 083952, Barbara Thomas Bagrowski versus McHood.
Mr. Andrew. Please, the court. Barbara Thomas Bagrowski was an exemplary employee prior to the time that her supervisor, in order to replace a team leader, determined that he would put her in a status, her and another white employee, where each would serve 6 months in a team leader position. When that was first done, nobody complained, nobody said anything, there were no issues raised. After Ms. Granahan, who was the white employee, had served the first 6 months, however, other white employees who had qualified for the position complained about my client receiving the position for 6 months as was previously agreed. On the basis of that, and Mr. Yokley makes that clear, so on the basis of that, he revoked the agreement that he had concerning my client and determined that he was now going to break it up into six different monthly assignments to distribute to all of the other employees other than Ms. Granahan who qualified, which would reduce my client's period from 6 months to 1 month.
Can you just clear up something for me? Is this case only concerned with what happened between 1997 and 1999?
No, because after that, we have retaliation claims that were made as well.
What was her last day that she worked there?
I don't recall, to be honest with you. But it's the period from whatever the period was from the promotional issue to the termination of her employment. If that was 1999, then yes, it does.
So her employment terminated in 1999, and she had some proceedings with the Merit
System Protection Board. Right. Those issues are not really involved here. This is only involving the discrimination and retaliation issues.
Between 97 and 99.
Right. Whatever that, again, I don't remember the specific dates, but whatever the period was.
We're in tail end of 2009, and we're concerned with something here that happened a dozen or ten.
We are.
But that's layer after layer after layer of review when federal employees go through this process.
Yeah, so. Because they have so many different options. She had an OWCP claim. She had a Merit System Protection claim. She had the EEO matters as the discrimination. She had the EEO matters concerning retaliation. So
she's on a bit of a losing streak, too.
Yeah. We're trying to address that issue to correct it. And so what happened was, you know, after she made the complaint about being denied that 6 month, then everything changed. Yet what you can clearly discern as a pre-charge set of facts versus a post-charge set of facts. Pre-charge, when she asked for time off because of illnesses, no problem, even though they were illnesses concerning like back injury or something like that. Post-charge, when she asked for time off for cancer, she couldn't get that. Documents that were previously accepted pre-charge were okay. Same documents that were previously accepted were no good after she made the charge of discrimination. She was put into a whole new category. And even in that period of time, when her new supervisor, Mr. Penner, denied her various benefits that she requested, part of the reasons that he gave was based upon the fact that there were complaints by her white compatriots, her white co-workers, who said they couldn't work with her. And because of those complaints, she was looked at unfavorably. As a matter of fact, it got so bad that Mr. Penner wouldn't even sit down with Ms. Bagrowski to discuss matters without having a witness available to witness what took place. This was a procedure that was unprecedented. White employees were subjected to anything like that.
With respect to the way that the requests for sick leave and time off were handled, the government's telling us that none of that was specifically directed at your client, but that it was part of this reorganization that the agency went through. Could you address that? What evidence do you have into the contrary?
Well, first of all, according to the government, everything changed after that. She went to a new unit. She got a new supervisor. The procedures changed. Medical documentation that was previously accepted wasn't accepted anymore. The procedures that were necessary for her to telecommute weren't accepted anymore. Every single thing that was relevant to her job performance changed. Mm-hmm. Now, the question becomes, and that was the argument made on the district court level, well, was this her denial of these benefits and her ultimate termination based upon this 180-degree change in the procedures under which she worked, or was it based upon the fact that she had complained of discrimination? Mm-hmm. So coincidentally, all these changes...
So that's my question.
Right.
And what evidence is there indicating that that she was singled out with respect to these changes? Usually you don't reorganize an agency in order to retaliate against one individual.
No, so. And that argument fails anyway, because mm-hmm. the procedures that my client tried to use were used by white employees successfully post-charge and post the so-called reorganization. So it wasn't the reorganization that was causing my client to be treated differently. That just didn't work. In addition, my client was told that part of the reason she was having a problem was because her coworkers, her white coworkers, couldn't work with her. She was required to now, in order to telecommute, submit a plan to her coworkers who had to approve of whether or not she could be allowed to telecommute and take time off. She had already had approval to take time off in the past. But now all of a sudden she has to go to the very persons who opposed her getting this position and who opposed the fact that she was getting it, even though they never opposed the submission of the promotion decision to the white employee that preceded her. These same persons now would determine whether or not she would get time off, would telecommute, would do other things. And her supervisor was saying that he was taking certain actions because of the fact that she couldn't get along with the white coworkers. So punctuated throughout all these procedures, first of all, with regard to the first decision that she doesn't get the 6 months because white employees complain. Secondly, why she doesn't get telecommunication, why she doesn't get benefits after her charge of discrimination, because white employees complain. This allows a jury to make a reasonable inference that these were based on either her race or based upon her opposition to discrimination. An argument as to whether or not they should accept that or accept this reorganization argument is something that should have been left to the jury. You can't weigh evidence in a summary judgment proceeding, and that's what happened here. I'd like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Certainly. Mr. Lorenzen.
May it please the court, counsel. I'd like to start by addressing two things that came up in counsel's argument and in his brief that just aren't in the record. First of all, the idea that she was rejected for certain telecommuting and advanced sick leave benefits because she now had cancer or that the issue was even cancer. That is absolutely not in the record. The issue, the medical conditions that Ms. Thomas Bogrowski brought up during the relevant time period were a reoccurrence of a back injury and shingles. There is nothing in the record, and I checked it very carefully both after I got the initial brief and in preparation for this oral argument, that cancer at this stage had anything to do with anything. Second, the notion that the reason that she was denied the longer time period and the promotion that allegedly white employees complained that they couldn't get along with her, that's also not in the record. It's asserted in a self-serving affidavit by the plaintiff without any factual support at all, without depositions, testimony from anybody who said that at all. And thirdly, that her supervisor, David Pinner, used the alleged evidence that white employees were complaining about her in relation to his decision-making, that is also not in the record. What is in the record is that the complaint of discrimination was completely unsupported by evidence under the direct method that the reason that she didn't get the longer promotion was because of her race, or under the indirect method. There was absolutely no evidence of similarly situated employees treated differently under the same circumstances. In fact, the only employee that is mentioned as treated better than her was Valerie Granahan, the woman who got the first 6 months.
She was African-American.
She was not. She was white. But she got the job because an independent panel of people involving no alleged discriminators here rated her first among the candidates that had applied for the permanent position that was later canceled. With respect to the denial of telecommuting and advanced sick leave, the case is even weaker. David Pinner became her new supervisor after a reorganization that affected the entire Great Lakes region. That reorganization didn't just change the place that the plaintiff was working, but also changed the place that Valerie Granahan was working. They both were reassigned to a new team. When they got to the new team, part of the reorganization was a new operating plan that placed a lot of emphasis on team building and team production. And the telecommuting plan, which was in place, said it's the team that approves the telecommuting plan in the first instance. Well, the team never rejected Ms. Thomas Bogrowski's plan. They simply asked her to respond to some questions, and she didn't like that. And so rather than respond to the questions and subjecting herself to the same procedures that other people went through, and to be sure, there were other people who got telecommuting plans approved after bringing their plan to the team, she simply went to her supervisor and says, no, I want to bypass all this. I want you to approve it based on my medical condition. And when he asked about the medical condition, she told him she wasn't in the mood to justify that. That's why her telecommuting plan proposal didn't go anywhere. It wasn't rejected.
How do you do this job by telecommuting?
Sorry?
How do you do this job by telecommuting?
Well, you know, before she came to the new team,
she did that from Milwaukee to Chicago.
And there were some programs in place that the FAA had near Milwaukee that made it possible for her to do that. But as I said, you know, the new reorganization and operating plan placed a really big emphasis on teamwork, and because of that, you know, it was much more difficult. And although some of her colleagues actually got telecommuting plans approved, they were for a limited period of time. They weren't going to be on an ongoing basis. What it really amounts to is she lived in Milwaukee, and that was a long way from Des Plaines, where her post was, and the commute was difficult, I imagine, for anybody. And
I think we can take judicial notice of that.
Right. Thank you, Your Honor.
I came from Milwaukee, and they came from Indianapolis. So
I'm sure. And you didn't ask to telecommute.
No, we might do that sometime.
The bottom line.
It's going to be the future here. You know, 10 years from now, there's going to be a lawyer standing here and three television screens, and everybody will be back. I hope that doesn't happen. But
I do too, Your Honor. The bottom line is this is a woman who just refused to follow the procedures that the FAA had in place for everybody else. There is evidence in the record with both regard to the telecommuting and with regard to advanced sick leave that other people were able to follow and get their requests granted. She just didn't want to do it. She basically ignored her supervisor's request for additional information, and the decisions that that supervisor made based on her refusal to comply are well justified in the record. And unless the court has any other questions, we'd ask that the court affirm the decision of the district court.
Thank you. About that last comment about this telecommuting, that she really didn't follow through on the request for more information to justify her claim. She just wanted it. Just do it or...
She had already been approved for telecommuting. That had already existed.
There was a new team in place, this new...
Yeah, that's what they were trying to say. And the point was, though, that she had already been approved, and she did submit directly to her supervisor what she had in mind. What the supervisor wanted her to do was to submit it to the very individuals who had opposed her position as a 6-month position. And counsel says that there's nowhere in the record that it's mentioned that the change in the six-month assignment was because of the complaints of white employees. I direct your attention to page 6 of my brief. Page 6 of my brief quotes from the deposition of Joseph Yokley, and there he says, and as a result, after the first 6 months, it was decided that other people had approached me about doing a 30-day detail, so at that point, I got another list of interested people and came up with the list of 5 plus Barbara. So it was 6.
That doesn't sound like a complaint about her getting it. It sounds like they're interested in doing it.
They were interested in doing it. And then if you go to page 11, though, there it talks about the fact that, and it names the individuals who were involved, and it talks about the fact that, in fact, they did complain about her having the 6 months. Well, that was the whole reason for the change in the assignment. They complained about her having the 6 months. They never complained about the situation when Granaham was in there. They didn't say, well, wait a minute, you know, why don't we all do 2 months, you know, including Granaham. Nobody had a complaint or a problem when Granaham was there. So the record does support that these were because of complaints by white employees that the situation was changed. It also supports the fact that the procedures that were instituted by Mr. Penner also came about as a result of complaints by white employees that they couldn't cooperate with Ms. Bogrowski.
Where do we find that?
That is on page 11 of my brief and page 6 of my brief for the references I was making. They refer to deposition statements and record statements. We'd ask that the decision be reversed.
Okay, thank you. The case is taken under advisement. We've